Let's get back to Moses. Things had not gone quite the way he expected at Sinai. Life is like that, isn't it? Things hadn't gone quite according to Moses' expectations and plans. In fact, they hadn't even gone quite according to God's plans either. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Exodus 32. Moses had been up on the mountain for 40 days. It's a long time to be gone. And the Israelites decided it had been a long time to be gone as well. So they figured Moses wasn't coming back. And told Aaron, "Hey, we don't know where Moses is. We're not even sure we care where Moses is. We need another God." And out of that came the adventure with the golden calf. And Moses comes down the mountain to be the agent of God's judgment among the people. Not the happiest days of Moses' life. The consequences of the golden calf incident, of those people insisting that God give them another God, or that Aaron give them another God, was this collection of gold formed and fashioned into a calf and presented to the Israelites as their God by Moses' brother. Kind of hard, isn't it? When your brother doesn't get it. Consequences? 3,000 dead Israelites. Plague. And the threat of God to withdraw from being with his people. He says to Moses, "You know, maybe what needs to happen, Moses, you just take the people by yourself. You take them to the promised land. Because if I'm there, I'm going to be too dangerous for this people." And out of that comes a really interesting conversation between Moses and God. And it's on that conversation that we want to eavesdrop this morning. Sort of listening into somebody else's prayer. Exodus chapter 33. And I want to read, beginning at verse 12 down through the end of the chapter. I'm reading again from the English Standard Version. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you've also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, that is, Moses said to God, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, This very thing that you've spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, Please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Father, as we look at your word, I pray that your Spirit would make it live for us, that your voice would speak, and that our hearts would hear and respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Conversation between Moses and God. And in that conversation, Moses makes two requests, and God answers those requests. So that's where we're going. Two requests, and God's answers to those requests. Request number one, verse 13. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways. Show me your ways. God, show me your ways. The word translated show there, some versions translate as teach. Its root meaning has more to do with knowing than with seeing. Lord, I need to know what your ways are. Now, I tell you, this is a monumental time in the life of Moses, and you ought to understand that. How often does a guy ask for directions? Lord, show me your ways. I unfortunately know the answer to that question about how often a guy asks for directions. We did have a GPS along with us on this trip, and most of the time it worked well. I don't think I ever stopped and asked directions, though, did I?
Never.
Well, there was once. Sort of. We were checking out of the hotel in San Antonio. And there's a valet at the front door, and I asked him, I said, So, what's the easiest way to get from here to Fort Sam Houston? And he said to me, I don't know. But if you go back inside and ask at the desk, they can tell you. So guess what I did?
Did you go back?
Let's put it this way, guess what I didn't? Moses needs to know where it is God's going. Show me your ways. And not just the direction, but the route itself. Lord, I need to know where you're going and how to get there. It's it reminds me a little bit about the conversation Jesus was having with the disciples in the upper room. Let not your heart be troubled. Remember that? Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back. He told them, you know where I'm going. And one of them said, no, we don't. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus straightened Thomas and then Philip out by reminding them that he was the way. Here's Moses, after a pretty significant disappointment in leading God's people, after seeing them turn to idolatry, after seeing God's judgment upon them, and Moses says, God, I need to know your ways. I need to know where you're going, and I need to know how to get there. If I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. I want you, Lord, to show me your ways so that I can know you. I suppose it's true that the ways of a man reveal the character of a man. Moses certainly is assuming that the ways of the Lord will reveal the character of the Lord. Lord, I need to know you. I need to know you. And God, I want to find favor with you. And I don't want you to forget that this massive humanity that I've got to deal with, and you've got to deal with, they're your people, God. They're yours. God, there's a relationship here. Well, there's part one of Moses' prayer, and here's God's answer. Beginning at verse 14, he said, my presence will go with you. God's answer was, first of all, his very presence. Moses said, show me your ways, and God says, I'll give you my presence. Now, I venture to say this is something like this has probably happened to you. You said to someone, I need to know the way, and they have said to you, tell you what, I will go with you. And maybe you said, no. I just need directions. No, I'll go with you. I'll show you the way. No, just give me directions. See, if that valet had said, yeah, tell you what, I know how to get to Fort Sam. Let me take a little time off here and I'll hop in the car with you. I would have said to him, no. Moses prayed to know God's ways, and God answered with his presence. Interestingly enough, literally is what it is saying is, my face will go with you. The same face that if you look on it, it will cause death later on in the passage. My presence, my face will go with you. And Moses says, verse 15, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. God, if your presence isn't going to go with us, I don't want to go. I just don't want to go. Not because I'm stubborn, but because your presence makes a difference. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? God, what makes us different is your presence with us. You want to know God's ways? Let him be present with you. Start enjoying his presence. But there's more. There's more. Verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you a roadmap. Of the wilderness. So you can find your way to Canaan without getting lost. Do you find that in your version? It's not in mine either. I keep looking for it, but it's not there. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. How often have you looked God, as it were, in the face and said to him, Lord, I need to know your ways. And said that in utter spiritual weariness. Been there? I have. Have you heard God say, I will give you my presence and I will give you my rest? I'll be with you. And he says to us, relax. But it's not like when I say relax and you think, yeah, sure, easy to say. When God says relax, you can relax. Because he's in charge. Remember the invitation of Jesus in Matthew 11? Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me into my presence, and I will give you rest. That's where it's found. Rest. In his presence. If you're looking for it someplace else, lots of luck. You're not going to find it. Lord, show me your ways. And God says, here is my presence, and here is my rest. start enjoying Moses. But Moses isn't done. He's got another request to make. Verse 18. Moses said, "Please, show me your glory. Show me your glory." And here the word translated show is visual. Show me your glory, Lord. I guess somehow I need to get this through my thick head that apart from the glory of God, life actually doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Apart from the glory of God, life for the Christian makes no sense. And apart from the glory of God, life for the church doesn't make sense. I'm reminded of that great prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, tail end of Ephesians 3. This is the exceeding abundantly passage. To him who is able to do far more than we could ever dream of. To him be glory. Where? Anyone know that verse? In the church. And in Christ Jesus. Glory in the midst of God's people. Glory. Glory in you, Scotty. Glory in you, Tim. Glory in all of you. That's what Scripture says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory, folks. Lord, show me your glory. Because if I'm to have any hope of it, it's going to have to be Christ in me. Yeah. Start moving away from where he is, it gets distinctly unglorious. And God answers. And I love the answer. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." You want my glory, Moses? I am going to give you all my goodness. How good is God? I know we've all said it. God is good. It's part of the Christian lingo of our age. It happens to be true. And there is more goodness than you or I have yet laid hold of. Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you. So Moses, don't fall asleep. Don't miss it. And will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh. The Lord. You want my glory? I'm going to proclaim to you, I am Yahweh, your present tense God. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? But there's more. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. You want to start experiencing God's glory? Start looking for His grace. Start looking for His grace. Grace is, it's the good that we don't deserve. It's God pouring into your life what you could never earn for yourself. And God says, guess what? I'm going to be gracious to whoever I want to be gracious to. And you know what, Moses? You can't stop me. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. It's God's grace. He can aim it wherever He wants. There's more. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's sort of the other side of grace. It's God not giving you what you do deserve. God gives you what you don't deserve, the good stuff. And He doesn't give you what you do deserve, the punishment, the consequences. There is a reason that the death toll at the foot of Mount Sinai in chapter 32 stopped at 3,000. And it is the mercy of God. It is not that there weren't a whole lot more people than that that deserved it. You want my glory, Moses? Here's my goodness. Here is my name, my very character. Here is my grace. Here is my mercy. Moses, you know where to find it? It's in a place by me. There's a place by me where you will stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Perhaps it's simply the calendar that made me think of this. I'd never really noticed it before. The similarity to the cleft in the rock being covered with God's hand, to the picture of the manger and a swaddled baby, because the manger was a cleft, literally, in the rock. It was a hollowed out space. Moses, you want my goodness and grace and mercy? It's in a place by me where I'm going to stand you on the rock and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to cover you with my hand so that my presence doesn't destroy you. until I passed by and you could look at my back. Well, there is coming a day when we'll get to see more than his back. And that'll be glory. That will indeed be glory. But the glory of being close enough to God to begin to experience His reflected glory is overwhelming enough for us now. The impact it had in Moses, we'll see it in the next chapter. Poor old Moses, his face glows. Just simply from being with the Lord. It's quite a prayer to eavesdrop on, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that sooner or later, and maybe right now, you will find yourself in Moses' shoes, trying to follow God, but dealing somehow with the unexpected, with the twists and the turns that you hadn't anticipated, with other people changing the agenda. And you're trying to follow God, but it's gotten complicated. I want to encourage you to do two things. Pray what Moses prayed. Show me your ways. Show me your glory. And receive what Moses received. His presence, his rest, his goodness and grace and mercy. And all of it in a safe place by him. Because I'm pretty sure that when we do, we'll find ourselves in the middle of the answer to that prayer. Show me your ways. Show me your glory. Would you do it for us, Lord? Show us your ways. Show us your glory as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.